Hello everyone, welcome to the Middle East today. Coming to you from Beirut, I'm Mariam Saleh. Egypt's first elected president after the ouster of dictator Hosni Mubarak, Mohamed Morsi, has begun working on forming a government. Morsi had declared that he wants this government to represent all Egyptians. But can he get the other parties, especially those who took part in the revolution, to work with him? This comes as protests against the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces continue, calling it to hand over full power to the president. Now, this is not an easy task for Morsi, but we'll see if we can get some answers on our questions with our guests today. I'm joined by Mr. Mufid Jabir. He is member of the Middle East Center for Studies and Public Relations. We're also joined by Dr. Muhammad Ghanem. He is head of the Muslim Brotherhood in the United Kingdom. I want to welcome you both to this edition. Let me start with you, Mr. Mufid. Who do you think are the real winners and losers of the elections, perhaps inside Egypt and outside of Egypt?
The real winners are those who supported the revolution, because the victory of Mohamed Morsi signals the victory of those who supported the revolution over the military rule. Because as we know, the military supported Ahmed Shafiq, and there was a great danger of Ahmed Shafiq becoming the president, which would have signified the victory for the military establishment. But the victory of Mohamed Morsi, you know, regardless of what we may think of the Muslim Brotherhood and its ideology, is a win for not only the Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamists in Egypt, but also to the revolutionaries and the liberals and the seculars who supported, who backed Mohamed Morsi, regardless of what they thought of his ideology, against Ahmed Shafiq, who would have signified a return to the old rule.
Do you think that Morsi really can form a government that encompasses all parties, something that could really stand in the way of the military council?
You know, Mohamed Morsi has already showed his wish to create a government that would include the Copts. He said he would appoint a Copt as his vice president and a woman as his second vice president. And he has already said that he would include in his government members of all the different parts of the opposition. So not only the Islamists. So I think it will. It's not a question of whether he is capable of doing so, but it's more a question. This is the only way. The only way for Egypt to go forward by including members of the other. Of the other parties in the opposition other than the Islamists.
All right, let me go to Dr. Ghanem. Dr. Ghanem, why do you think the Muslim Brotherhood, I mean, as many have said, that the Muslim Brotherhood has accepted too little in such quick time, that they should have asked for more, they should have been more revolutionary, perhaps, in their task, in order for the president to have enough power in the country?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم مريم. I think the issue here is not what to give and what to take. The issue here, we're considering the whole Egyptian political scene, the whole Egyptian political future. And what happened is after this election is an educational for all the Egyptian people, for the region in whole. We had a complete discussion politically, in media, in legal term, and the resulting the president election, actually it will benefit the whole Egyptian, not only one section or another. And even though Muslim Brotherhood represent a section, a very important section of the Egyptian population, but they are working for the Egyptian people. They're working for Egypt. They're working for democracy. They're working for the Muslim world and Arab world. They're working for the region. We're not a regional party. No, we are movement. We are social. We are economical. We are political movement. Mm-hmm. Then when we participate in any country, in particular Egypt at that time, we just pulling the wagon of democracy. And what happened in this election, it's a step forward for democracy for Egypt. Mm-hmm. We never think political as give and take. We look political as a process, and we participate, respect all other parties, and work together for Egypt and for the Egyptian people.
Do you really think that Mr. Morsi can work with the other parties in order to create a government that can actually do something, make some change in the country, with the fact that the military council still has its power almost on everything else?
I will tell you something, Mariam. Morsi, Dr. Morsi, is the exact fit for that period. He's highly educated. He lived the democracy for the United Kingdom. He knew inside out how democracy works in Europe. Here he came here and visited us. He's a close friend of us. He is political minded, and he always a good listener. He knows what Egypt wants, and he has the mental capacity, the intellectual capacity, the political capacity for the position he got now. I think he is a proper fit for the job he had.
All right.
And he have.
Yes.
And he's going to do very well, inshallah, for the Egyptian people.
All right, hopefully. We're joined on the phone by Mr. Jamal Zaidi. He is editor at Al Ahram magazine. He's joining us on the phone from Cairo. Mr. Zaidi, if you can tell us about how you think about the task of Mr. Morsi, President Morsi, and do you think that the fact that the votes were so close, I mean, the election race itself was so close to the extent that we might witness a bipolar society inside Egypt, or perhaps tripolar if we have other groups of revolutionaries also on the third end. What do you think?
In fact, we have to wait and see until he forms his new cabinet. But actually, there are some indicators showing that the new president, Mr. Morsi, will bring his group, the Muslim Brothers and the Freedom and Justice Party members to the cabinet. They declared that nobody from the Muslim Brothers group or the Freedom and Justice Party will join the new cabinet. But yesterday, we read that 50% of the new cabinet will consist of ministers belongs to Freedom and Justice Party. And I do believe this is a negative sign because Mr. Morsi has a great challenge. He has to gather all the Egyptian nation together and not to represent only the Muslim Brotherhood or the Freedom and Justice Party. The other political parties are observing his performance. The first days and the presidency. So if he doesn't act, if he doesn't perform like a president for all Egyptians, not only for the Muslim Brothers, I do believe he will receive a lot of criticism in the upcoming days.
Do you think, Mr. Zaidi, that perhaps there will be solidarity with Mr. Morsi in order for the revolution perhaps to complete its task? And what do you think about the Nasserism? Is it ending, or is it just building itself all over again in Egypt?
I think the upcoming days, Mr. Morsi and the other political parties have to get together and make a coalition. From different political trends, because this is the only positive sign which he can give to the Egyptians, because there is a lot of concerns in Egypt nowadays after electing Mr. Morsi that the Muslim Brothers will control all the authorities in Egypt. The post of the president, the cabinet, the parliament, and they will not let anything to the other political parties. And we can add to that the role of the Muslim Brothers businessmen. I mean, they are excluding now the other businessmen in Egypt and doing certain agreements, and they will arrange a big conference with the Asian group in November. Mm-hmm. And they have been told by the British that if they would like to cooperate with the British, they have to form business associations which okay. represent everybody, yes. including the Christians.
Okay, thank you, thank you. Since you mentioned the issue, since Mr. Zaidi has mentioned the issue of how some other groups look at the Muslim Brotherhood, let me ask Dr. Ghanem before I come back to the studio. Dr. Ghanem, some other groups perhaps accuse the Muslim Brotherhood of excluding other groups, especially the Christians, and we saw the Christians supporting Ahmad Shafiq. How do you look at that, and can mercy change this perspective?
Well, since Morsi become the president of Egypt, he's nothing to do with Hizb al-Hurriya wal-Adala, the Freedom and Justice Party, neither with the Muslim Brotherhood. Although he's originally within from the movement and was the head of the party, but as he become the president, he has to be in an equal distance to every Egyptian. Then he can't distinguish between one and another. But for the claim of always an accusing Muslim Brotherhood of having this discrimination attitude, it's a complete unfounded. We are Muslim Brotherhood, we respect everybody, we work with everybody, but because we have representation more than anybody else, people look at us as a dominant part, which we aren't. But this is how the political map in Egypt, we've been struggling with the dictatorship for at least 80 years. That gave us the support of the people. They saw us, they trust us. That looks for other, mm-hmm. that we are dominating the political life, which yes. we aren't. We would love to work with all the section. We respect all the other parties and opinion, and we're willing to work with them.
Yes,
and when we have somebody...
Yes, Mr. Zaidi mentioned not only the political life, but also the business life and the economic side. You have a lot of businessmen in the Muslim Brotherhood who are somewhat excluding other Egyptian businessmen and willing to work just with foreign sides.
Well, we cannot deny that we understand Islam as a comprehensive religion which gives you the way to live life in all its aspects. We try as a group to have an overall structure which includes economic and social and political and legal and everything. This is life. This is reality. This is how we understand Islam. This is how we practice Islam. All right. But the idea is having oversized activity, that's not true. We are very normal. We are in the average size of yes. all activity, either it's economic or political.
All right. Mr. Mufid, Mr. Jaber, how do you look at how the other groups might work and cooperate with Mr. Morsi, especially the Nasserite groups? And do you think Nasserism has ended in Egypt or no?
No, I think Nasserism is on the rise. As we've seen, Hamdine Sabahi has a great deal of support in mm-hmm. Egypt. And the amount of support that he had, especially from those who don't follow the Muslim Brotherhood and those who don't follow the old regime, even we've seen a rise in Nasserism even among other groupings, because Nasserism is a liberal ideology, it's a secular ideology, and naturally we have seen support for Nasserism from all of these different kinds of groups. So I think Nasserism is on the rise ever after having been asleep during after having been repressed under Anwar Sadat and Hosni Mubarak. After the revolution, Nasserism, the pan-Arab ideology, has become more on the rise. I mm-hmm. think the other parties are, listen, the Muslim Brotherhood has a responsibility to deal with the other, to cooperate with the other parties in order to...
Well, Mr. Morsi has made this clear. President has said that I am willing to cooperate with everyone. He has even named, I mean, we have all the other groups, including members, people like Mr. Baradei and the heads of the other groups. So do you think that this will happen?
Yes, it will happen, obviously, because he has the obligation to work with these people, because it is not only the votes of the Muslim Brotherhood who brought Mohamed Morsi to power, but also the votes of those, pan-Arabs, the pan-Arabists, the seculars, the liberals, who didn't want to vote for Ahmed Shafi, and who didn't want to abstain from the election by voting for neither Ahmed Shafi. They wanted to the revolution to succeed, regardless of the fact that they disagreed with Mohamed Morsi on ideological issues.
Yes.
And so the fact that these people are the ones, in a large part, brought Mohamed Morsi to power in Egypt, he has the responsibility to cooperate with these people in forming a new government.
All right. Now, do you think that we might witness bipolarism in Egyptian society, the fact that the election race was so close and you even had some people, some groups who did abstain from the election process?
Yes, it's true that a large part of the population does support the military and by extension supports to some extent the old regime because, the military is, there are millions of people who are either members of the military or members, family members of retired military people. And so there is a large part of the population in Egypt that still supports to some extent, that opposes the revolution. And then you have also the Muslim Brotherhood and those who voted for the Mohamed Morsi who belong to this camp. And then you have also, you can talk of a third party that supports neither. So you can talk to some extent of tripolarism, but it's not that.
Yeah. Do you think that since the military council does have legislative power still, that the president would have any capability to make change in the country?
Well, this is the big question, whether the military will allow Mohamed Morsi, will give powers to the president or not, because the military has interests across the sectors in the economy. They are well invested in all the major parts of the economy, and so they don't have interest in having a president that would lessen the influence of the military. And so the fact that Mohamed Morsi was elected before the constitution decided upon makes the future very unsure, because it is the military establishment that has the legislative power, and it is up to them to decide, to a large extent, what are the powers of the president. And so this is a very great problem that
that Morsi will probably have to face.
Yes.
Now, Dr. Ghanem, we have heard that the military council wants to try and control, especially the foreign relations of the country. That although we heard from Mr. Morsi that he wants to open up to countries like Iran, which has not witnessed, of course, relations between Egypt and Iran since for the last 30 years. Do you think that the military council can enforce, perhaps, who is foreign minister and who is defense minister, issues like that, or can Mr. Morsi change the perspective of Egypt outside the country?
Well, the military and military council and the Egyptian army has played a very important role and significantly have succeeded to bring the country to the position which it's in now. But for the army, you cannot deny an army for 60 years is dominating the political activity to withdraw in overnight. The Egyptian army will remain some influence in Egyptian politics for a while until you complete the structure. We are building the structure brick by brick, but we hope, as the army promised, to be as neutral as he can. The influence will remain, and there always will be a struggle between the elected institution and the president and the army. But I hope they are wise enough and they are sincere enough to work together to fulfill the political vacuum, to get the constitution, to get the parliament. And when you build all this structure, I think Egypt will be an open society, a democratic, and it will lead the area to better future, inshallah.
How about foreign relations? How do you look at that? I mean, is it true that the rumors that perhaps the military council might enforce the names of the foreign and defense ministers?
Well, foreign relation based in politics is as any other relation, in mutual understanding, in mutual benefit. But when it comes to foreign regarding to Egypt, you get the American, you get the Zionist state, you get the Palestinian. This is the real core of the foreign policy. You cannot deny that America play a great role politically in the area, and you have to respect it. But you have to rewrite the relation between Egypt, a new Egypt, and the United States. You have to rewrite the relationship between the Zionist state and the Egyptian people. You have to respect the public opinion about their brother in Palestinian. Palestine is a Muslim country, and we feel close to those people, and we cannot watch them to being tortured and their human right being violated and stand tight hand. We have to work in this for the benefit of the area and the stability of the area, politically and economically as well.
Since you mentioned this, Dr. Ghanem, I'm sorry, it's because we have very little time. The issue of the Palestinian cause, and many say that why did Mr. Morsi not mention this issue in his first speech, although the Palestinian people say that they have high aspirations for Mr. Morsi in this regard?
Well, I think Mr. Morsi is busy with a lot of things in his head at the moment, and his schedule can't be fulfilled for the next month or few months. But I am sure the issue Palestinian and the relationship between the Zionist state and Egypt is in his heart. And I think he sleep thinking about it. And once he got the chance to talk about it, he will be clear. Put his policy there for everyone, for the benefit of the two nations, Egypt and the Palestinian people.
Thank you. Mr. Jaber, a quick question for you. Do you think that Mr. Morsi will be able to change the facet, if we may say, the stances of Egypt towards the region?
Yeah, Mohamed Morsi has a responsibility towards his electors to at least, work when what concerns foreign policy, so that Egypt's direction is in accordance with the wishes of the Egyptian people. And so even though he might face pressure from the military establishment, which still has a great deal of American influence inside of it, it may find pressure from this establishment, but it is going to have to work along with the wishes of the Egyptian people. And so while we might not find an abrogation of the Camp David Accords, for instance, Mohamed Morsi might work to repeal some of the terms of the Camp David Accord in order to make it fairer to Egypt, because as we know, the Camp David Accords are largely to Israel's advantage. And so we might also find Egypt having stronger stances with regards to Israeli aggression on the Palestinians, or its treatment of the Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza. It would be greatly different from how Mubarak dealt with this issue.
Yes, of course. Now, Mr. Mufid Jaber, I want to thank you very much for being with us. I also want to thank Dr. Mohamed Ghanem, head of the Muslim Brotherhood in the UK, who was joining us from London. We were also joined by Mr. Jamal Zaidi from Cairo. Our email is metoday@presstv.com. Stay with Press TV. Goodbye for now.